Even Scout had to admit Yoda got a fantastic bargain on the B-7. "How'd you get it so cheap?" she asked, gaping at the smirking old Jedi as he stuffed a datapad into his belt. "You must have used your Jedi mind powers. I thought you said that was unfair."
"Not interested in fair, am I? Interested in results," he wheezed. "Besides, Jedi powers used I not. Paid fair price I did."
An hour later, Fidelis was setting ship stores into the pantries of the freighter's tiny galley. Yoda had told him to buy enough food for a feast, and he had done his best. Programmed to please, he was distressed at the idea of cooking without knowing his guests' preferences. But, he philosophically reminded himself, all life was improvisation. And anyway, the only cuisine we had ever known was what they served in the Jedi Temple cafeteria. If Fidelis couldn't exceed that standard, he deserved to be left behind with the rest of the scrap on Jovan Station. As he set out his ingredients, he could hear Yoda in the forward cockpit, grunting and snuffing as he peered over the ship's manifest and owner's manual. Creaks, gasps, and bangs came from aft, where Master Wee and the girl were still in the gray casks of water. Fidelis poked his head into the cockpit.
"Pardon me, Master Yoda, but I would like to delay cooking for the time being and help stow the water. I shall be back in a matter of moments."
"No,"
the old Jedi grunted.
"I beg your pardon?"
"Go not. Padawan's job it is to load the ship. Use the force they must. Good practice will it be."
"But neither of them has slept in more than a day."
"Missing the point, are you, toaster thing? Padawans need to work. If not working, think they will."
"Oh,"
Fidelis said. Yoda turned, looking over his humped shoulder so their eyes met, sentient and machine.
"Old are we and strong. Trees that have survived many frosts. But for these two, their master's deaths of first winter are. Work, let them," he said gently. "And eat, and cry, and maybe, just maybe, sleep after all."
The droid regarded him.
"You are wise, Master Yoda."
"So they tell me. But since here you are, tell me more of Count Dooku's quarters."
"They are hardly that,"
the droid said stiffly.
"I trust the Count is staying as a guest of House Malraux. The exact nature of the situation is unclear, as I have been on Coruscant for many years, and my communication with Lady Malraux has been somewhat erratic."
Yoda studied the droid.
"J. Marek mentioned to me a lady he saw in the house. A Vajun fox followed her."
"That would be Lady Malraux. The fox is her familiar."
"Familiar?"
"So the servants call it. I do not care to speak to superstition, although certainly the force is reputed to be very strong on Vajun, and House Malraux, of course, has produced the finest adepts of its arts."
"Strong it is, in the dark side,"
Yoda murmured.
"Count Malraux's attempt to apply genetic manipulations to the midchlorian bodies was, with the benefit of hindsight, perhaps overly ambitious. And yet, one must admire his scope and vision."
"Must one?"
Yoda said dryly.
"But of your Lady Malraux, Dooku's mad housekeeper is she now?"
Even Yoda had rarely seen a droid look shocked. But shock was exactly the expression on the droid's metal face now.
"That cannot be."
"Washes the floor, Jay said she did. Also cleans refreshers,"
Yoda said.
"Is it the wrong word, housekeeper? Servant would be better. Scullery maid?"
he asked innocently.
"Slave?"
"Lady is the appropriate term. Or mistress."
"Like to meet with Dooku, would I?"
Master Yoda continued blithely.
"Convince him to come back to Coruscant, I must. Not easy, though. Guards there will be. Followers, perhaps. Soldiers. Know you any private ways into Chateau Malraux?"
"I do indeed,"
Fidelis said. Chateau Malrose stood on a high bluff on the north side of the Bay of Tears, a deep water harbor guarded by sudden shoals. The River Weeping, which ran into the bay, had hollowed out a fantastic labyrinth of caves through the coastal cliffs. The system of caves and tunnels that led up from the beach had exits everywhere, including, of course, the cellars of Chateau Malrose. One of these underground passages opened into the side of a tall hillock, crowned with thorn trees half a kilometer inland. From the cover of these thorns, an interested observer watched as an old B-7 freighter, accompanied by two wasp-winged Trade Federation fighter craft, came lumbering in, apparently intending to set down on the deserted landing pads in the ruins of Bitter End, a city on the far side of the bay from the chateau. The freighter lurched suddenly, as if experiencing a problem with its altitude thrusters. It slipped rapidly sideways, spinning convincingly, and disappeared into a cleft between two rocky hills. The Trade Federation fighters balked, jerked, and finally finished the descent into Bitter End. 112 seconds later, the first land speeders came screaming down the road from Bitter End to the cliff across the bay from Chateau Malrose. The road ended there, at the famously scenic vista. From his hidden observation post, Solis dialed up his TZ telescopic sniper scope with the implanted reticle to identify the troops spilling out of the land speeders and heading into the rugged terrain. 10, 12, 15 humans in all, plus 10 elite assassin droids, like the ones Ventress had brought to Findar spaceport, and two platoons of grunt droids to help beat the bushes. There would be more specialized trackers in soon, no doubt. This would be the reception committee Dooku had sent to be Yoda's guard of honor. There was a cave entrance within 3 minutes' hard scramble of where the B-7 had touched down. Yoda's crew should make it in plenty of time, Solis thought. Once inside the caves, they should lengthen their lead. At least until the hunters brought in some pretty fancy sensors.
You're late,
Count Dooku said mildly, as Wuri waddled into his study, flushed and gasping.
Which I'm certain I'm sorry, for that I was looking for Miss Vix. But there she is, the pet,
Wuri cried, for the Count was holding the brindled fox. Dooku stroked the terrified fox.
I've been looking through some house records. When your husband went mad, you gave a child up to the Jedi.
The baby,
Wuri whispered.
Which they stole him, the brutes. They stole him from me.
There was a droid here at that time, Dooku said. A tac-spec footman who served the House Malrose for 12 generations, but then mysteriously disappeared. Curiously, a sage met such a droid 8 days ago, traveling with a Jedi Padawan on his way here. Were you thinking of having a little homecoming without telling me, Wuri?
Which it was supposed to be a surprise like,
the old woman whispered.
I don't like surprises.
Oh, all right then,
she swallowed.
You can communicate with this droid, I assume.
Yes.
The Count looked at her.
Yes, Master,
she said quickly. What's wrong with your gentle gadget? Scout asked Wee. They had been scrambling through the caves for some time, following the glow of Yoda's lightsaber, when the droid came to a sudden halt. Fidelis? Wee's voice, sharp and commanding. Fidelis seemed to wake up.
Yes, Master Wee?
Is there a problem?
Not at all, sir. Just running through my internal map, sir.
Come, Yoda said. A large chamber there is. Rest there we will.
I don't need rest,
Wee said. His voice hummed with suppressed excitement. His eyes were bright, almost manic.
The Force is strong here.
He was right about the Force. Even Scout could feel it. A nervous prickle running deep inside her, as if the world were full of magnets, and she could feel them tugging on the iron in her blood. We found it exhilarating. Scout thought it was creepy. We bounded on ahead, with Fidelis pattering behind. Scout came up more slowly. Master Yoda took her lightly by the arm.
Soft now. Listen a moment, Padawan. Leave you here I must.
Leave us? She hissed.
Whether Fidelis may be trusted, I know not. Keep your fellow Padawan safe, I know he will. But Jedi business is a different thing.
Yoda snuffed.
A way to the surface nearby there is. I can smell the air. Take it, I will. You and the others stay in the caves. If all goes well, come to you at will. If met in 12 hours, we have not. Head back to the ship and send a message to the Jedi Temple saying Yoda will not return.
But...
The hand squeezed her arm.
Your fellow Padawan, watch you must. The Jun calls to the dark side in him.
Check it out!
We called from somewhere up ahead.
Skeletons!
What am I supposed to do with him?
Scout whispered, but Yoda was gone. Cursing under her breath, Scout scrambled up a series of limestone ledges. The only light came from the faint glow of Wee's lightsaber far ahead. The floor was covered in a gray dust, fine as ash. Nothing grew here, although every now and then Scout saw small bones, animals that had fallen down a hole into the caves or been carried here by floodwaters.
What do you suppose happened to Scout?
She heard Wee say in a strange, comical voice.
I better go check.
Wee answered himself in a high, squeaky voice. There was a clatter, like old sticks clacking together. Just as Scout scrabbled up to the lip of the next cavern, a grinning white skull peered down at her. A bony arm reached out with a skeletal hand at the end of it. Wee was using the force to make the frail bones hover in the air.
You look like you could use a hand,
he said, in that high, squeaky voice, and the floating finger bones clutched around her wrist. Scout screamed and smacked her arm down on the limestone. The bones snapped and splintered. Scout's heart hammered in her chest.
Wee, stop it!
Just having a little fun, Wee said, appearing.
Scout, it's incredible! There's something about this place. Can't you feel it? I've never felt the force so strongly. Normally, I would have to concentrate just to hold all these bones in the air. But here...
Scout waited for her heart to stop racing.
Wee?
Yeah?
You know you don't sound right, don't you?
Silence.
I know.
He flicked off his lightsaber. Instantly, the darkness was absolute. Scout held up her hand at the sound of distant footsteps, the clink and rustle of metal. Then, by some trick of the caves, a set of orders came through a crack in the rock, as if the trooper giving them was only a few meters away.
Spread out through the caves. Captives can be taken dead or alive.
Scout stirred.
Dooku's droids are coming after us.
Time to get moving, we agreed.
Hey, where's Master Yoda?
He left. He said we should rendezvous back at the ship in 12 hours.
I didn't hear that. Wee said suspiciously. Why would he tell you and not me?
I don't know, Scout snapped back. Because you're acting really weird right now? Wee started an angry reply, then bit it back. He nodded, tight-lipped.
Good answer. It isn't easy for me, being here. My thoughts keep spinning out. I have to cut them off.
Fidelis, get us farther away from these droids, would you?
Certainly, sir. I know every crack and cranny in these caves. If you will follow me...
Drip, tap, drop, tick. Count Dooku sat at the desk in his study, pretending to read the day's dispatches from the Clone Wars, but actually listening to the ceaseless Vajoon rain, tick spattering against the windows behind him. Listening, too, with a sense other than hearing... Yoda was close by. He was moving carefully, quietly, hiding his presence in the Force, riding on its back like a leaf whirled gently down a stream. Tap, drop, tip. It would be interesting to see Yoda again, like revisiting one's childhood home. Not that Dooku intended to get caught up in nostalgic sentiment. Sitting here with the fate of millions in his hands, subordinates begging for orders, victims begging for mercy. Naturally, it was tempting to remember those earlier, comparatively carefree days when he was a boy dreaming of the lives he was going to save, instead of counting his corpses by the thousands. Funny to think he had ever been so young that a single life seemed precious. Ventress's words came circling back into his head. How can he let you live? He will use you up. Talking to get herself out of trouble, of course. But by the stars, she had chosen her dodge shrewdly. One thing you could say for a sage, her instinct for where to drive the knife home was impeccable. You must stand too much in his sun, Count. Dooku glanced at the hollow monitors grouped on his desktop, many scenes vying for his attention. A view of the battle on Amwat, a panning shot of the devastation on Honegger 6 months after the toxic catastrophe there, a hollow feed from the Senate Chamber of the Republic, an urgent interrupt showing a small ship coming hard into Vajoon orbit, chased by two interceptor craft from the high orbital pickets. Real-time updates from the troops that had followed Yoda and his children into the caves, and a battery of surveillance views from the chateau itself. The Count didn't like surprises. Tap, tap. Rain coming harder now, knocking against the windows. At last, the Count realized that wasn't the sound of rain. He whirled around to stare out his study window. Perched impossibly on the thin ledge outside, 5 stories above the ground, Master Yoda was rapping on the glass with his stick. Rain was running down the furrows of his wrinkled face, and he was grinning like a gargoyle. A Hirsch Kessel Chirya-class modified very fast courier dropped through Vajoon's atmosphere like a thunderbolt, with 2 Trade Federation pickets in hot pursuit, hot being the operative word. As the pilot of the Chirya seemed to have skipped the unit on atmospheric braking in flight school. A trail of superheated air and burning atmospheric particulates streamed behind her like a comet's tail. One of the pursuing picket ships shot overhead into the distance, not daring to keep to that impossibly steep re-entry angle. The other, glowing bright red, stayed doggedly on the Chirya, firing short bursts from her forward cannon that failed to hit their mark. The Chirya jerked and twisted gleefully through the hail of incoming fire, swiveled her top-mounted laser to point straight aft, and let go with 1 continuous stream of fire. For a long moment, the picket ship's forward deflectors held. When the end came, it wasn't the energy blast punching through her armor that killed her. It was the sheer ambient heat that reached the hull's melting point. The pilot tried to pull out of the dive, but the enormous G-forces tore the melting frame apart, and the ship dissolved, smacking into the ruined city of Bitter End like a fiery snowball. A couple of kilometers away, the Chirya settled daintily on the ground 100 meters from Yoda's abandoned B-7. "What was that?" Obi-Wan Kenobi said, unbuckling himself from the turret cannon gunner's chair. "I thought you were going to get us shot. Then I was sure you were going to get us incinerated. Then I was positive you were going to crash." Anakin bounced out of the pilot's chair, grinning. "Just a little thing I like to call showing off." "Showing off? It's not just about winning, Master." "Federation attack droids coming in 2 files from the B-7 landing site. 6, 7, 8 of them," he added carelessly, glancing at the Chirya's tactical monitor. "Ready?"
"No!"
Obi-Wan dropped back into the turret gunner's chair and used the Chirya's laser cannon to blow holes through 3 of the attack droids hurrying down the path toward them before the others scrambled madly for cover. "All right. Now I'm ready." Anakin drew 2 blasters from the gun locker by the forward hatch.
"I love this planet. It's just steeped in the Force. I feel so buoyant."
Anakin tapped the hatch lock and launched himself outside with a towering leap. Bright glares of blaster fire sparkled around the hatch, but he was through, twisting in the air, a blaster in each hand, firing as he went. 1, 2, 3, 4 shots. 2 droids holed through their video sensors, running blindly across the hillside, sparks shooting from their scrambled sensor arrays. Anakin hung in the air for an impossibly long time, let himself fall at last into a shoulder roll. 2 more shots at a droid trying to sneak up behind him, taking off its weapon hand and blowing out a knee. And then he was standing, perfectly balanced, with the blaster pistol steaming in the thin Bajoon rain. "I could walk on water," he said. The droids began to retreat, a swift, efficient action for those still undamaged. Obi-Wan followed Anakin into the open, using his lightsaber to deflect a few blaster bolts sent at him by the retreating droids. "Come on, let's see if they got Yoda and the Padawans over there." They ran after the retreating droids, stopping just long enough at the B-7 to make sure there were no Jedi captives there. The droids scrambled up a hillside and withdrew into the mouth of a cave. "What do you think?" Obi-Wan asked, passing over a pair of electro-binoculars. The two of them were now lying flat behind a little mossy ridge, looking up at a dark slash, like a wound in the venomous green hillside above. They could see light sparkling on the tips of blaster rifles from droids lying flat in the cave's mouth. Anakin considered. Long run uphill to get to the cave's mouth. No cover. They'd be firing down at us from a shielded position. Kind of a killing field when you get right down to it. That's sort of what I thought. Anakin unclipped a dimpled sphere from his belt and hurled it uphill. "Wait!" Obi-Wan said, too late. Anakin had already used the Force to guide the concussion grenade into the cave's mouth, where it detonated with a deep, flat sound, like a sound tube dropped from the top spire of the Jedi Temple hitting the stone pavement below. 1 heartbeat. 2. Metal debris blasted out of the cave mouth like confetti. A moment later, Obi-Wan felt a deep percussive thud shaking the ground beneath his belly. Then another. Then more. The sound of falling stone roared out of the cave mouth, followed by a huge exhalation of dust puffing from the opening like a giant's dying breath. "Great," Obi-Wan said. "The caverns are collapsing on themselves." "You don't suppose Yoda was in there, do you?" Anakin asked. "And the Padawans?" "You better hope not." Usually the Force only helped Scout predict her enemy's moves when they were face to face. But the air of Bajoon was rich even for her, and a prickling premonition had danced over her skin seconds before the caves started to collapse. "Fidelis! Get us out of here!" she'd said. And the droid, responding to the urgent tone of command, had grabbed her belt and hauled her along. They pelted down a long, thin passageway at top speed. Then came the first explosion, a dull crack like blasters close at hand, followed by a rumbling thunder that did not fade, but grew louder as the caves behind them began to crumble. They stared at one another as the still air of the cavern suddenly began to puff and quarter like a crazy wind. The floor of the passage shook beneath their feet. "Uh-oh," Scout whispered. "Keep running," Fidelis shouted. "We're almost there." Moving swiftly in the gloom, he raced through another passage, carrying Scout so high and fast, her feet missed the floor for steps at a time. A few moments later, a door. Fidelis pulled it open. "Quickly!" Brightness lanced out, dazzling to their dark-adjusted eyes, as the droid pushed them inside and closed the door behind them. Blinking in the sudden light, we realized they were not in a dusty cellar or dungeon, but in a comfortably appointed room, with hangings on the wall and a fire crackling in a carved fireplace. There was a fine carpet on the floor, tapestried with a woodland scene in a border of crimson and cream. It was the room from his dream. It was the room from his dream, only there were 6 assassin droids waiting for them with weapons at the ready. And standing behind them, beside the door they had just stumbled through, was a sage Ventress. "Master Malraux," she said lazily. Welcome home. As long as anyone could remember, Yoda had spent most of his time in the Jedi Temple with the very young, playing with them at ages 2 and 3, hide-and-seek, dodge-bolt, force tag. When the first combat training started, with falls and rolls and footwork games, Yoda led them. The first touch of genuine combat Dooku could remember was playing a game called Push Feather with the Master. The point of the game was to become aware of even the faintest, tiniest changes in pressure and balance, and to learn to counter one's opponent's force not by blocking with greater force of one's own, but by turning the opponent's energy back on him or her. As one got better at the game, and Dooku was much the quickest learner in his year, it became more and more like sparring, with victory going to whichever fighter could make his or her foe lose balance first. As they got older, they more often started in a fighting stance, fingers lightly on one another's forearms. Dooku's first push would come light and fast, or slow and heavy. The energy would come up from below, or drop from above, or come in a sudden thrust right to the chest. He won the 12 and under tournament when he was 9. But as good as he got, he never beat Master Yoda. No matter what trick he tried, a force push from behind, a slap to the eyes, the master always felt the blow coming before it landed and twitched aside, like a sting fly dodging angry hands. Every time Dooku thought he had the old Jedi set up and made his final push, Yoda would melt away from the blow, and like someone walking down a staircase with 2 steps inexplicably missing, Dooku would find himself flailing, the old familiar lurch and loss of balance. The drop. What made it more frustrating was that Yoda frequently lost these games of push feather. He would shove out at some little boy or girl with half Dooku's talent, who would twist clumsily to the side, and the master would pitch comically to their feet, making woeful faces, while the kid giggled and shrieked with jubilation. He let them win on purpose, Dooku could tell. He was building confidence in them. But he never lost to Dooku, never once. It was unfair, blatantly unfair, and for 6 months, Dooku attacked with greater and greater fury, trying anything to win, but at the same time making his own balance ever more vulnerable. So when he lost, and he always lost, always, 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 he did it in progressively more spectacular fashion. He made a point of losing badly, painfully, daring everyone else to notice how unfairly Yoda was treating him. Dooku was 12 years old the last time they played. Yoda had been coming to the unarmed combat classes once a week or so, and that whole spring they had sparred through a long series of humiliating defeats, in which Dooku found himself taking an increasingly proud, contemptuous, bitter kind of satisfaction. He was twice the master's height now, and still, Yoda had never let him win, not even once. Never admitted what he was doing either. And Dooku would certainly never give him the satisfaction of crying about it, or complaining. As they bowed to one another, Dooku decided that he would make this loss something spectacular. So blatant that everyone would have to acknowledge what was going on. He decided he would break his own arm. They straightened from their bows. Dooku settled into his ready stance, calming himself and preparing for the pain to come.
"I win,"
Yoda said.
"What?" Dooku had yelped. "We haven't even started."
"When one fighter his balance has lost, win his opponent has,"
Yoda said mildly.
"I win."
And at that instant, again, as always, the sudden lurch. The falling, and Dooku saw Yoda was right. As soft as Dooku had made his limbs, his pride was still stiff. And that's where Yoda had pushed by never letting him win, until he was so wound up in his rage and humiliation that he had gone into the match intending to lose. The realization was so big he could hardly hold it. He blinked, dazzled by the genius of the master's teaching. Showing him a weakness he would never have found, no matter how many times he beat his fellow students. Thank you, he had stammered, his insides all mixed up between rage and humiliation and abject gratitude. And the old Jedi's face had broken into a smile. He had gripped Dooku's hand and brought him close and hugged him, laughing.
When you fall, apprentice, catch you, I will.
It was the lurch and drop, the loss of balance, and the sudden helpless fall that gripped Dooku again after all these years, as he stared out in wonder at the ancient, grinning goblin who squatted, dripping on his window ledge. He had a brief fantasy of letting go with a single blast of force energy shattering the window, flaying the old master with the shards. He imagined Yoda tumbling through the air, bloody and insensible, dashing his brains out on the flagstones far below. How easy that would be. But Yoda would be prepared for that. It would never be so easy. Count Dooku prided himself on his ability to see reality for what it really was. He opened the casement window.
Master, come in.
Yoda hopped from the window ledge to Dooku's desk, stamping through the various landscapes being broadcast to the holo monitors there and shaking like a dog. Yoda had his lightsaber, but for now it was still belted at his side. In one hand, he held his stick. In the other, he had a Malro rose, white petals trimmed in blood red.
You've been picking the roses from my hedge?
Dooku said genially. Yoda held up the rose.
Yes, a pretty thing it is, he said,
examining the needle-sharp spines. Gingerly, he tipped the cream and crimson flower head toward himself and snuffed. He closed his eyes and sighed with pleasure at the fragrance.
Actually, the roses are why I decided to stay here, Dooku remarked. There are other mansions on Vajoon that would have done as well, but we had roses in the great house on Sereno. I suppose these reminded me of home.
Remember them, did you?
Yoda asked lightly.
Obviously. I just said.
From before.
Ah.
Dooku gave a little laugh.
As a matter of fact, yes.
One of the very few memories I have from before I came to the temple.
It was a hot day, I remember that. A bright day and the sun heavy in the sky. The rose smell was very strong, as if the sun were beating the fragrance out of them, burning them like slow incense. I was hiding in the rose garden, and my finger was bleeding. I guess I must have been playing in the bushes and pricked myself. I can still remember sucking the blood, the way it welled up from this hole in my finger.
Hiding?
What?
Yoda squatted down on Dooku's desk.
Hiding, you said you were. Why went you not into the house to find a bandage or get a kiss?
My mother got angry if I hurt myself.
Yoda looked at him curiously.
Angry?
Silence.
It's not our way, Dooku said abruptly. The Counts of Sereno do not complain and cry. We are born to take care of others. We don't expect others to take care of us.
And yet, your finger hurt. Did it not?
I don't expect you to understand, Dooku said.
There was a knock on the door.
What?
Dooku called sharply. The door rattled open, and Wiri came into the room in an obvious agitation of spirits.
The baby, she said. The baby's back. But the land is all slipping too fast for me to read the fortune. And I'm worried your young lady will do him a mischief, begging your pardon, Count.
The little Vajoon fox padded into the room from between her legs. It caught sight or scent of Yoda, stopped stiff-legged, arched its back, and hissed. Yoda glared down at the thing from the desktop, bared his teeth, and hissed back. Wuri jumped with a little shriek.
Witch, it's one of they nasty cellar goblins, she cried, staring at Yoda. Don't worry, your lordship. I'll get a broom and knock it on the head.
Master Yoda may be small and old and shriveled up like an evil green potato, Count Dooku remarked. But he is my guest, and I would prefer you not hit him with a broom unless I particularly desire it.
Oh.
Which it is your lordship's guest, is it?
The housekeeper said dubiously.
Each bow his own bell, so they say. But come, will you talk to your young lady with the knifing eyes and check her before she does the baby any mischief? Oh, I did what you asked, lordship. The droid brought them in right as whips melt in a net.
She added piteously. At the moment, I am occupied, Dooku said sharply. A sage may play with her scrap mice any way she likes for all I care.
But, sir...
Don't pretend you love him, the Count said. If you loved him, you would have kept him. Weary looked at him, shocked.
Loved the baby? Of course, I always loved...
You had a fine house, wealth, everything a person could desire, and you gave him up, Dooku said. The Jedi arrived like beggars on your doorstep and asked for your firstborn, your heir, your precious baby, and you gave him up. The Count's face was white. You sent him away to a distant planet. Never a letter or a message. Sent him from the only home he had ever known and let them lock him up in the temple and steal everything that should rightfully have been his. And now you have the impudence to come here and say you loved him. Loved him! The Count shouted. Weary and her fox were backing from the room, frightened. Dooku mastered his voice. Mother, son, love, he said wearily. You don't know the meaning of the words. He waved at her with his hand. Leave us. The housekeeper turned and fled. Dooku rubbed his forehead with a tired hand.
Forgive me. As you know, most of Vajoon ran mad, and Weary is no exception.
Everyone on Vajoon goes mad, I think,
Yoda murmured.
Later or sooner?
Forgive my comments on the temple. You know I have never doubted your goodness, Dooku said. But, and I say this with all respect, there are things you choose not to see, Master. The Jedi principles, your principles are noble ones, but the Jedi have become a tool in the hands of a corrupt republic. If you truly want to see real justice... Yoda looked up and met Dooku's eyes with a look of such infinite, distant boredom that the Count's speech staggered to a halt.
No lies for me, Dooku,
Yoda said.
Fuh, thin stuff. Save it for the young. I am not young,
he said, turning his deep green eyes wholly on Dooku.
The old, easily bored are. Even Yoda, though I try not to hurt feelings by showing it. But come across the galaxy to hear you tell me about nobility and justice?
Yoda laughed. Yoda looked down at the floor, making little patterns in the air with the stick.
Come across the galaxy I have for one thing, Dooku.
Yes, Master, Dooku said,
hating the words as soon as they were out of his mouth. He only had one master now, and a jealous one.
Obvious, is it not, Dooku? Turn me, Dooku. I beg you, show me the greatness of the dark side.
Far below, in the crying room of Chateau Malraux, Scout snarled and reached for her lightsaber. Ventress raked her with a vicious clawing strike across the head, knocking her to the ground. Stay still until I tell you to move. Scout gasped, crouched on her hands and knees, waiting for the stars to clear from in front of her eyes. Blood trickled from the cuts in her forehead and scalp, dripping onto the richly embroidered rug. Thank you, a sage said, glancing at Fidelis. Who doesn't relish a nice spot of gentleman's personal gentle treason? Oh, don't look so shocked, she said to Wee. Did you think it was just your bad luck I was waiting here? Wee turned to Fidelis. But you're supposed to look after me.
Indeed, sir,
Fidelis said, looking embarrassed.
But your lady mother is still the head of House Malraux, and she represented to me that it would be best for you both, in the long-term interests of House Malraux overall, if you follow me, for you to come to an accommodation with Count Dooku and his, representatives.
Ventress chuckled. You just can't get good help these days. Do you know what you're playing with, boy? This is a tax-spec footman. Very dangerous. The hardware alone would retail for the cost of a small planet these days for the right collector. She frowned. As it happened, I could do with a bit of cash. The price of a small planet is looking pretty good. She pulled out a blocky hand weapon. Do you know what this is? The Padawans glanced at one another blankly. Fidelis shifted, coughed.
Neural net eraser,
he said. That's right, a sage said pleasantly. Take it. She held it out. Come on, droid. Take it or else. Her eyes flicked over to Wee. Woodenly, Fidelis reached out for the ugly weapon. Put it to your head and pull the trigger, a sage said. More blood trickled down Scout's face. Come on, droid. Put it to your head and pull the trigger, or I blow the boy's head off. What are you waiting for? She asked. Is this the legendary loyalty I've read so much about? There is a clear and present threat to a Malraux here. Wee licked his lips. Fidelis, don't. I won't die here. I can't. I can only be killed by a Jedi. I saw it in a dream. Don't throw your life away. That would be risking a lot on a dream, a sage said. And even if it's true, why do you suppose that is? Because Fidelis is going to save your life. He is going to make the ultimate sacrifice, like a good little droid. He knows his duty, doesn't he? If the droid had been programmed to hate, he would have looked at her with hate. Instead, he lifted the neural gun to his head.
Only remember, I served the House Malraux.
Fidelis, no! Don't! The droid blinked.
I didn't think it would end like this, he said.
Then he pulled the trigger. Scout and Wee screamed together. The droid's eyes went blank, and his body toppled to the ground, jerking and twitching. Blue lines flared along his circuit maps as the nano-burn ran along his processing conduits, searing them out like thin streams of acid. For a long time, the droid jerked and spasmed, and then, at the end, the body lay still. Nothing but a pile of hardware on the floor. A sage looked down and nudged the dead machine with her boot. Loyalty, she said philosophically. It'll get you every time.
You want me to tell you about the power of the dark side?
Dooku said wonderingly. Yoda had the dragon's eyes again, half closed, gleaming under heavy lids.
Tell me, is it hard to find the power of the dark side?
No. The lore of the Sith, that is another matter. But to touch the power of the dark side, to begin to know it, all you have to do is allow yourself. Relax. We carry the dark side within ourselves, Dooku said. Surely you must know that by now. Surely even Yoda has felt it. Half of life, dark to balanced light, waits inside you like an orphan, waiting to be welcomed home. We all desire Yoda. We all fear. We are all beset. A Jedi learns to suppress these things, to ignore these things, to pretend they don't exist, or if they do, they apply to someone else, not us. Not the pure. Not the protectors. Dooku found himself beginning to pace. To know the dark side is merely to stop lying. Stop pretending you don't want what you want. Stop pretending you don't fear what you fear. Half the day is night, Master Yoda. To see truly, You have to learn to see in the dark. Yoda hummed and grunted, eyes nearly closed now.
The dark side. Power would give me.
Power over all. When you understand your own evils and the evils of others, it makes them pitifully easy to manipulate. It's another kind of push feather, the Count said. The dark side will show you the stiff places in a being, his dreads and needs. The dark side gives you the keys to him.
Very fine that is, but Yoda has power,
the ancient master said, examining his hairy toes.
I live in a palace bigger than this one, if I count the temple as a palace. Dooku is a master of armies, but Yoda is a master of armies too. So far, we are even.
Is there such a thing as too much power? Dooku mused. For instance, he continued carefully, there was a day when your power was clearly greater than mine. Today, however, I have waxed as you have waned. You stand in my citadel. I have at my command servants and droids and great powers of my own that I think would overwhelm even you. It is possible that at a single word, I could have you killed. And without you, how long would those dear to you last? I could have them one by one. Mace and Ironhand, Obi-Wan, and precious young Skywalker, too. Yoda reached behind his back with his stick, trying to scratch a spot just between his shoulder blades.
Power over beings need I not. What else can it give me, this dark side of yours?
What game are you playing here, Master Yoda? Yoda smiled at the use of the term master.
No game. Wasteful this war is. Even you agree. Sent you the candle, did I? You know there can be coming home for you. Always catch you, will I, when you fall. I swore it.
Dooku flinched, as if stung.
But another way to solve the war there is. If you will not join with me, perhaps join with you I should. Tell me more. If power over beings need I not, what else can your dark side do for me?
What do you want? Dooku snapped. Tell me what you want, and I will show you how the dark side can help you achieve it.
I want...
Yoda held up the flower in his hand and took another sniff.
I want a rose.
Be serious, Dooku said impatiently.
Serious am I?
Yoda cried. He held the flower imperiously toward his former pupil.
Another rose, make for me.
The dark side springs from the heart, Dooku said. It isn't a handbook for cheap conjurer's tricks.
But like this trick, do I?
Yoda said.
The trick that brings the flower from the ground. The trick that sets the sun on fire.
The force is not magic. I can't create a flower out of thin air. Nobody can. Not you, not the Lord of the Sith. Yoda blinked.
My force does. Binds every living thing. The force I understand.
Master, these are games of words. The Force is as it has always been. The dark side is not a different energy. To use it is only to open yourself to new ways to command that energy that have to do with the hearts of beings. Want something else. Want power.
Power have I.
Want wealth.
Wealth I need not.
Want to be safe. Dooku said in frustration. Want to be free from fear.
I will never be safe, Yoda said.
He turned away from Dooku, a shapeless bundle under a battered, acid-eaten cloak.
The universe is large and cold and very dark. That is the truth. What I love, taken from me, will be late or soon. And no power is there. dark or light, that can save me. Murdered, J. Marek was when the looking after him I had. And Max Leem, and all the many, many more Jedi I have lost. My family they were.
So be angry about that, Dooku said. Hate, rage, despair. Allow yourself just once to stop playing at the game of Jedi Knight and admit what you have always known. You are alone, and you are great. And when the world strikes you, it is better to strike back than to turn your cheek. Feel, Yoda. I can feel the darkness rising in you. Here, in this place, be honest for once and feel the truth about yourself. At this moment, Yoda turned, and Dooku gasped. Whether it was the play of the holomonitors, beaming their views of bleak space and distant battles, or some other trick of the light, Yoda's face was deeply hidden in the shadows, mottled black and blue, so that for one terrible instant he looked exactly like Darth Sidious. Or rather, it was Yoda as he might have been, or could yet become, a Yoda gone rotten. A Yoda whose awesome powers had been utterly unleashed by his connection to the dark side. In a flash, Dooku saw how foolish he had been, trying to urge the old master to the dark side. If Yoda ever turned that way, Sidious himself would be annihilated. The universe had yet to comprehend the kind of evil that a Jedi Knight of nearly 900 years could wield. From the shadows, Yoda spoke.
Disappointment like I not, apprentice,
he snarled in a wicked, wicked voice.
Give me my rose.
There were roses carved in the wall of the crying room, and thorns too, wonderfully lifelike, wonderfully sharp. The blood seemed to be running off Scout's face a little faster. Not serious, she told herself. Head wounds always bleed a lot. Doesn't make it serious. What are you going to do to us? We said. We're not going over, Scout growled hoarsely. We won't. You don't need to talk to your betters, a sage interrupted softly. Scout struggled to speak, but a sage held the force like a clamp around her throat. I'll let you know when the time is right to speak, Ventress said. Scout's eyes burned as she fought for air. Don't do that to her, we said. Her? The force is weak in her, Ventress said. Live or die, she hardly matters. You, on the other hand, interest me very much. A sage reached out with one hand and touched, just touched, Wee's cheek. There are things you want, she said. Why not take them? I don't know what you're talking about. I'm not your mother, a sage said softly. You don't have to be nice for me. I feel the dark side very well here. Very well. She glanced at Scout. I've seen the way you look at her. You're making this up, Wee said hoarsely. You think you can kill my droid, hurt my friend, and then talk me over to your side? That's exactly what I think. She was standing so close he could feel the heat from her body. Her voice, a whisper, light as a spider crawling into his ear. What you want, you can have, boy. What you desire, you can take. This is all yours, she said, gesturing around the room. The room is yours. The manor house is yours. The Jedi took it from you, but it's yours and you can have it back. This is all for you, and with it, anything else you care to take. She can be yours too, she added, glancing at Scout. You can have her if you want. Kiss her, Wee. Blood trickling down Scout's face, her collar wet with it. Kiss her. And he wanted to. A sage smiled. Welcome home, she said.
Now choose.
Your hand is shaking,
Yoda said.
Yes.
Dooku frowned down at it.
Age.
Yoda smiled.
Fear.
Yoda came out of the shadows. The vision of him in his Sith avatar faded. It was only Yoda, the same as always, taking Dooku's hand and studying it intently, as if he were mad worry, trying to read the future in the pattern of liver spots.
Feel the trembling, even you must.
I tricked you into coming here, Dooku said. This is a trap.
A trap? Oh, yes, it is.
His old touch was warm and firm.
To the dark side, I do not think I shall go,
Yoda said conversationally.
Not today. Feel the pull, do I? Of course. But a secret let me tell you, apprentice.
I'm not your apprentice, Dooku said.
Yoda ignored him.
Yoda, a darkness carries with him,
the master said.
And Dooku bears a light. After all these years, across all these oceans of space, all these bodies you have tried to heap between us, and yet call to me still, this little Dooku does, flies toward the true force, like iron pulled to a magnet.
Yoda cackled.
Even the blind seed grows to the light. Should mighty Dooku be unable to achieve what even the rose can do?
The Count said,
I have gone too far down the dark path ever to return.
Feh!
Yoda snapped his fingers.
The empty universe! Where is it now? Alone are you, Count, and no one your master. Each instant, the universe annihilates itself and starts again.
He poked Dooku in the chest with his stick. Hard.
Choose and start again.
Far below, we were standing centimeters from Scout's bloody face. And then Scout smiled for real. Because she knew. She knew what he would do. And the force welled up in her, and she broke a sage's grip around her throat. It's all right, she gasped. You're going to make the right choice. I am? Yes! Relief spread across the boy's face, like daylight flooding into a dark place.
What are you doing?
A sage said angrily. We laughed and snapped his fingers. Waking up! Scout! Scout, you're right! I'm not going to give in! I'm not a bad guy!
You're going to be a dead guy, Ventress said.
Her two red lightsabers flashed to life. We laughed again. Honestly, that scares me less than the idea I was going to turn into you, he said. No offense.
None taken, a sage drawled.
Droids, kill them. A hail of lightning came through the door, reducing it to smoking splinters. On the other side of the room, where six assassin droids had been standing with their blasters leveled, there were suddenly two badly damaged assassin droids, one on either side of a heap of molten slag.
What was that?
Ventress asked.
Rika Moab mini rail cannon,
Sola said, walking through the space where the door used to be.
That's not in the footman's specs.
Sola shrugged.
Upgrades.
Then he liquidated the remaining droids.
I didn't know there were two of you,
Ventress said. I thought this was the one who called to give me Yoda's location. She tapped Fidelis's corpse with one foot.
No, that would have been me.
Why would you rescue us?
Scout said, bewildered.
You're not rescued yet, a sage said tartly.
She backed out of a bargain. One can't let that happen too often,
Sola said.
It's bad for business. I saved you because the odds of taking her down are better if all three of us are alive and fighting.
Scout drew her lightsaber, a pale blue wand aflame. I like the better odds thing, too. A sage leapt high over the sudden death, spitting from the cannon attachment at the end of Solus's arm. A cabinet exploded in a shower of debris. Ventress was swinging for the girl, but the force was strong in Scout 2, in this place an hour, and her parry was there before the killing blow could fall. Whee swept out his lightsaber. The room was bedlam and fire, the smell of smoke and hot metal. Another prickle of premonition shivered up Scout's spine, and she gasped, seeing Ventress use the subtlest of force grabs to lift the forgotten neural eraser from Fidelis's metal hand. "Solus!" Scout screamed, as the trigger punched down. "Behind you!" Too late. Lines of blue flame streaked along Solus's spine.
"Run!"
the droid shouted. He fired at Ventress with mechanized speed and accuracy, sending a stream of super-accelerated metal through her left leg. The neural net eraser took hold, and he was shooting behind her. And then he was shooting at nothing at all, as his limbs jerked and spasmed. We, white-faced, watched him start to die. "Come on!" Scout shouted, grabbing him by the collar. "We've got to get out of here and find Master Yoda!" She dragged him through the far door, and the two of them raced up into the unfamiliar house. Sirens were going off, and bells were ringing. They turned down a corridor at random, and Scout sprinted toward an archway that seemed to lead into a large entry hall. She stopped dead as a burst of blaster fire came spitting through the arch. "All right, next choice," she gasped, and they picked a different door. Behind them, a sage Ventress tore a length of cloth from her own shirt and wrapped it around her bleeding leg, growling. She pulled the makeshift bandage tight and sprinted after them, growling deep in her throat. She darted down the same passageway, following the sound of blaster fire, and leapt through the doorway into the great entry hall of Chateau Malraux. "Now I've got you," she snarled, and found herself face to face with Obi-Wan and Anakin. "True as you tell it," Obi-Wan said, ever urbane. "But what are you going to do with us?" Behind him, Anakin's lightsaber hissed into sizzling life. Ventress turned and ran.
"Blowing up, your house is,"
Yoda remarked, peering at the various holo monitor displays with interest. A light blinked on the comm console, a special red light. Dooku stared at it, then tore his eyes away.
"Message,"
Yoda said helpfully.
"Answer it, should you?"
Sweat was running freely down the Count's face.
"Or maybe someone it is you do not want me to see. Your new master calls. Dooku, ask yourself, which of us loves you better?"
"I serve only Darth Sidious," Dooku said.
"Not my question, apprentice."
The red light blinked. There was another explosion from downstairs. A siren went off, and several of the holo monitors began to flash.
"Come,"
Yoda said urgently. He put his hand once more on Dooku's arm.
"Catch you, I said I would. Believe you must. More forgiveness will you find from your old master than from the new one."
A rush of panicked footsteps, and the housekeeper burst into the room.
"Master, wish there are Jedi in the ballroom. They're coming to take my baby,"
she shrieked. Dooku flicked through the security monitors until he found the ballroom.
"Ah," he said.
Something in his face seemed to freeze and die.
"I see you brought your protege."
"Understand you, I do not,"
Yoda said.
"You didn't mention bringing young Skywalker," Dooku said, pointing to the holo monitor. "And Obi-Wan, too. That changes the odds considerably. There's your wonder boy now, fighting the assassin droids I have standing sentry duty at the front door." His hand was wonderfully steady now. "Your new favorite son."
"Bring him, I did not."
"And yet, there he stands, with Obi-Wan," the Count said.
"Please, Master, don't let the Jedi steal my baby again. Do something for me. for all my hard work, Master.
Dooku glanced up.
Do something for you.
His eyes flicked to Yoda and the lightsaber at the Jedi Master's belt.
Of course I'll do something for you.
With a flick of his hand, he picked up the heavyset woman with the Force and hurled her through the window casement. Yoda's eyes went wide with shock.
You might want to help her, Dooku said.
With a bound, Yoda was at the casement. Worry was windmilling down through the black air, screaming and tumbling toward the flagstones. Narrowing his eyes, Yoda reached out through the Force and caught her not 3 meters from the ground. Instantly, he was in the air himself, spinning away from Dooku's vicious attack, before he was even consciously aware it was coming. The blinding scarlet blur of Dooku's lightsaber split the air, slashing a burning line along Yoda's side before chopping his desk in half. Yoda whipped out his blade while trying to set Worry gently down on the cobblestones below.
Wish to hurt you, I do not.
That's odd, Dooku remarked. I intend to enjoy killing you.
As Yoda released Worry from his mind's hold and let her spill gently onto the flagstones far below, the tip of Dooku's lightsaber scored a burning line across his shoulder.
I've hurt you, Dooku cried.
Many times,
Yoda said.
But killed me you did not when you had the chance. A mistake that was. More than 800 years has Yoda survived, through dangers you could not dream.
I know how to kill, Dooku hissed.
Yoda's eyes opened wide, like balls of green fire.
Yes, but Yoda knows how to live.
Then their blades clashed together in a lace of fire, green and red. But the green burned hotter. Slowly, slowly, Dooku gave way. And in the dark, drunken Bajoon air, Yoda was terrible to behold.
Yes, Dooku whispered. Feel me. Feel the treason. All those years of teaching me, raising me, trusting me. And here am I, the favored son, butchering your precious Jedi one by one. Hate me, Yoda. You know you want to.
Count Dooku lashed out with his lightsaber. Yoda took a quick step back and felt the heat of the red blade as it sliced the air centimeters from his tunic. He jumped, spun, and struck at Dooku's back before he landed. Dooku turned aside at the last moment, whipping his blade across the space where Yoda was seconds earlier. Facing each other again, their blades met, clashed, froze.
Cunning, are you?
Yoda said, breathing hard.
I've had excellent teachers, Dooku said.
Yoda dropped and rolled to the side, his lightsaber blazing, reaching for Dooku's ankles. Dooku leapt up and flipped backwards, landing lightly to face Yoda squarely. On his feet again, Yoda whirled and struck at Dooku, his green blade meeting Dooku's and pushing him back. Dooku attacked with reckless abandon, fueled with hatred. Their blades hummed together, hissing and sparking. Dooku brought his blade down toward the diminutive Jedi Master, and Yoda parried, locking his blade against Dooku's. Yoda breathed, calming himself.
And yet, even here on Vajoon, where the dark whispers and whispers to me, love you enough to destroy you, I do.
Pushing Dooku back yet again, blades flashed and flared stutters of light, blood red and sea green. Sweat ran in streams through Dooku's beard as he countered Yoda's every move, and his lips were white. Hollow battles raged around them as the consoles showed Obi-Wan and Anakin clashing with wave after wave of battle droids. Dooku shot a quick glance at the red button on his desk, and with a Force push, he punched it in. Yoda cocked his head.
A choice made, have you, Count?
I notice I am no longer your apprentice, Dooku said between breaths. There was always a chance you could overpower me, of course.
Yoda attacked, Dooku parried.
So I put a missile in high orbit, slave to this location. It's falling now, gathering speed.
Dooku stepped warily back to the open window casement.
Can you feel it dropping? A thorn, a needle, an arrow, faster all the time.
He paused to get his breath.
Obi-Wan and your precious Skywalker and your little Padawans will be wiped out when the missile hits. So what you need to decide is what means more to you, Master Yoda. Saving their lives or taking mine? And with that, he leapt backward out the window. Yoda could feel the missile too, dropping in a red screen through the atmosphere. 200 armored kilos of explosive aimed for Chateau Malraux. With a snort, Yoda turned his eyes to the sky and picked out the glowing dot racing in from the horizon. Below him, Dooku landed softly on the ground and melted into the rose gardens. The missile was coming in with terrible speed and power. Too much coming at Yoda too fast ever to wholly stop it, even if he had time and perfect peace. But he reached out to pull up the force, binding even the June's bitter green moss and twisted thorn trees, and let it flow through him like a wind. The breath of a world gathered and released in a pushfeather game, with all their lives on the line. Not to oppose the missile's force with force, but to touch it gently on the side, just enough to send it screaming by the broken window casement to plunge a kilometer offshore into the cold and waiting sea. Moments later, Yoda trotted down into what had once been the great entryway of Chateau Malraux, now a shattered and smoking ruin. Obi-Wan was thoughtfully towing the remains of a prime combat droid that his partner had cut in half. Nice work, Anakin. If you were considering a career in interior decoration, though, you might want to take a few more classes. Oh, no, Anakin remarked. This is the new brutalism. I think it'll be all the rage if these Clone Wars don't end soon.
Master Yoda, Obi-Wan said, running across the hallway as the Old One came down the great curving staircase. Are you all right?
Sad am I, but unhurt.
The old Jedi sighed.
So close I was.
Did you almost kill Dooku? Anakin said sympathetically. How frustrating.
Yoda gave him an odd look. Almost angry. Anakin didn't notice.
Perhaps we can still catch him. He must be around here somewhere. I thought we were going to get Ventress once and for all, but you gave us the slip. This place is crazy. Honeycombed with secret passages.
And battle droids behind every wall, Obi-Wan added. The familiar rumbling sound of a starship engine coming to life started up in the distance. Obi-Wan headed for the front door.
Masters! Anakin hissed.
He put a finger over his lips, signaling the others to keep quiet, and edged along the wall of the entry hall until he came to a doorway that led into the mansion's interior. Touching his lightsaber to life, he leapt into the corridor with a blood-curdling yell, at exactly the same moment that Scout and Wee leapt from the other direction. For a long comical instant, the three of them were frozen in battle stance, lightsabers glowing, screaming at one another. Yoda doubled over, wheezing with laughter. Anakin was the first to recover.
Hey, it's the small fry.
Glad to see you, am I?
Yoda said.
But hurt you are,
he added, his long ear tips furled with worry. Wee's robes were scorched and slashed by stray fire from Solus's death throes, and Scout's hair was clotted with blood.
It's nothing, Scout said, grinning. We couldn't be better.
Wee laughed and threw his arm around Anakin in sheer joy.
I'm so glad you're not coming to kill me.
Anakin clapped him on the back, bemused.
Me too.
Looking back over his shoulder, he said, You might want to check this one for a head injury, Master.
Anakin?
Obi-Wan said.
Yes?
You remember that the first time I met Asajj Ventress, I stole her spaceship?
On Kata, right?
And then we met again, and we took a ship again.
Right?
Why do you mention it? Anakin said, coming to stand in the doorway beside Obi-Wan. Together, the two of them watched their lovely cheer yell rise slowly into the weeping Bajoon sky and head for space, accelerating hard.
Oh, no reason, Obi-Wan said.
This is Jonathan Davis. We hope you've enjoyed this production of Star Wars, Yoda, Dark Rendezvous by Sean Stewart. This program was produced, directed, and abridged by Kevin Thompson. Executive producer, Jacob Bronstein. Star Wars, Yoda, Dark Rendezvous is a production of Lucasfilm Limited, copyright 2004. All rights reserved. Used under authorization. Music composed by John Williams. Music publishing by Warner Tamerlane Publishing Corporation and Bantha Music. Music master production, copyright 2004, Lucasfilm Limited. This has been a Random House audio presentation. All rights reserved.